Everybody to the Soul in Sports right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP Hopewell. It is I, Mike Pierman Sr., but today Mike Knox might have to return. That's right, people. I spelled my name with three X's because, like Carson Wentz, as I went to work today, and the Washington Redskins, you like that? I am hardcore. First, the particulars, 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. And make sure you follow the station, giving you all the identification at 1340 AM Fox Sports on YouTube, Twitter, wherever social media is sold. And you know what? While you're following Fox Sports, you might as well go ahead and follow the show that you're listening to right now, right? I mean, how hard is it? At S-O-U-L-N Sports, not A-N-D-N, just the letter N, like Nancy, sold in Sports on the Twitter as well. Follow yours truly, Michael underscore Pierman Sr. on the Twitter. And follow the crew while you're at it. Urban Sports Team, Emmy Richmond. I don't even know Jay Watts' radio handle. He changes his Twitter account so much, I just can't keep up with it. But follow my social media to the stars. They're keeping us going out there on the Twitterverse. And King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter as well. But for those who don't know, I like to wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it simply this way. In the words of a guy I don't even like that I have to quote, buddy, I was listening to the game. He made a quote that I actually agreed with for once. And since he didn't make a, how can I say this in a professional way? Is that a correct or politically correct word? Asinine comments that Phil Simms made. He did say, I would hate to be a handicapper with the way things are going good today, the NFL. Listen, guys, I call myself the handicapper to the stars. And right now, the NFL is the best it's ever been. No, not because I went to work today in Winsylvania, the Philadelphia Eagles, the best team in football. No, 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 no. Because every team that's supposed to win yesterday did not win. That's why this is the show for you. Also, as I wear my heart in my sleeve, we're going to break it down because the Washington Redskins finally got that donut off their record going into MetLife Stadium in New York City. And, well, is it in New York? It's not really in New York, but it's, you know, y'all get what I'm saying. It's the home of the New York football Giants, and they beat the Giants yesterday in a good game. It was so good that, I mean, if you not watch the game, I know you saw the highlights of Odell Beckham fighting the net. If you talk about a guy having a tensor tantrum, if he doesn't just give Michael Sam's a call already and get it over with, I don't know what else to say to you. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, the NFC East is here. Are they back? That is a serious question. Is the NFC East back? Or it's, you know, it's still the NFC East, and it has been over the last 7 to 8 years. Also, we're going to break down who is actually the best quarterback in the NFC East. You saw the poll up on Fox Sports 1340 on the Twitter. Go ahead and vote for it. Anybody who votes right now, you like that? And Kirk Cousins ain't watching the game. That's a straight homer pick, just like those guys picking Ryan Prescott because his mama named him Ryan. I'm not going to call him Dak because that is just short for Dakota. And seriously, only Dakota we all know that was ever famous was Dakota Fanning. So I'm not going to call him Dak Prescott. His mama named him Ryan. I'm going to call him Ryan. So, and we're going to break that down for you. We got Anthony Raposa calling in our Washington Redskins beat writer to the program. Today is a 60-minute hour of power rendition of the Soul in Sports. because, frankly, we got an hour, and we're going to get up out of here, y'all. All right, so let me just introduce to you the crew. As always, my brother from another mother, but we got the same father because we all believe in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's going on, Micah?
Yo, 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 what's up? We are on the show. This weekend was great. And, you know, I think you had a good weekend. Well, you had a good Sunday. I heard about Saturday, and I'm sorry. I apologize, sir. But I understand. At least you got a good Sunday.
Seriously.
You got a good Sunday.
Did you see how I avoided that today was the best and worst of the weekend because
yes, sir.
Notre Dame just
yes, sir.
Completely sucked. You had to bring it up, especially with a Michigan person coming on next. I'm going to cut your promo off right now. And, dudes, welcome to the program, Wally. What's up, Wally? Go ahead and get out of the way, Wally, you little Michigan fan.
No, Michigan won. I'm not going to do all that. I mean, I didn't get a good opportunity to watch Notre Dame game, so I don't hate it.
We absolutely, positively play like Rasha Nesterovich.
College football, it's a great time in college football, man. You got a lot of good things.
No, it's not. It's not a great time in college football. I'm a Notre Dame fan.
Oh.
It's not a great time. Not a great
I'm
time. It's a great
about,
time for you.
For other college football fans.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Louisville looks good, man. Louisville looks good. They look real good.
Louisville does look good.
They look really good. So.
Michael laughing at
That's
me.
Tough.
You know what?
He's
giving a homer. You're gonna give me the Simpsons laugh? What a dirty, 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 dirty guy. And no, we're not going to talk Clash of Champions today because we've got an impromptu show. So those looking for our wrestling review from Clash of Champions, we will talk about that Wednesday on the Perfect Plex Talk radio rendition of the Soul and Sports this Wednesday coming to you. It will be after Raw, after SmackDown. We put it there in that way because we get the best of both worlds on Wednesday. So that's what we're going to talk about on Wednesday is exactly that. So, yeah, look, I know all my wrestling fans are just tuning in. We will talk wrestling on Wednesday. But overall, just to be real quick, I gave it a B pay-per-view. That was just me. But it just, you know, I don't like that every 2 weeks there's a pay-per-view. I thought I would, but for some reason last night, I was in Richmond. Emmy, you was there. The crowd was dead until you saw it on TV. It was live. Well, it was kind of the opposite yesterday. I spoke to people in attendance at the Clash of the Champions. They said it was lit. They said it was out of his way. They said the kids say it was lit. I don't understand. Is that like the bomb for us older people? It was the bomb, right? So it was the bomb to them. But on TV, I was kind of sleepy. I was
a little different. I'm sorry, Mike. I just started. Go ahead, Mike.
That was much better than what it seemed. But, you know, we'll talk about that on Wednesday. I got a lot to say about
that. Yeah. Got a lot to say about that, exactly. But 347-637-3859. Let's just go ahead right there and hit the nail on the head and get the conversation going. And Ron says, yes, lit is the new bomb. Well, technically, you got a light.
Kind of lit
for the bomb to explode, right? So technically, it's still
lit's
the bomb.
A whole different, you know, people have changed lit. You know what I mean? Because lit used to be, you know, you got drunk. Now it's like
right. If you overindulge, it really means
you drunk. But people kind of went and took it to another level.
It's the kids. It's kids today.
Yeah, right?
I had some kids that are telling me that Kodak Black was a better rapper than The Game, and I said, he said, you just don't like it. All you used to do is mainstream hip hop. He said, well, hip-hop can't change. I said, no. I said, well, anything can change. I said, but art is art. You can't all of a sudden have a square and say, I don't want it to be a square today. I'm going to call it a circle. It's still a square.
Uh-huh.
The definition of hip-hop, the meaning of hip-hop, where it came from, was expression of one's life in the form of rhyming. That's the definition of hip-hop, expression of urban life in the form of rhyming. If you're not rhyming, then it's not hip hop. So we'll talk about that on another show for another day. But Wally, it's your world, brother. I know you got to be happy. The Washington Redskins, hail to the Redskins, finally won yesterday. How did it feel? I mean, you lost some injuries. You lost some players in this. And LeAngelo Hall is gone for the year.
Yeah.
How did the game look to you yesterday?
To me, it was a good team effort. When people dissect the Washington Redskins, a lot of people look at it at the quarterback position, but I feel like in the grand scheme of things, as a team, they won this game. Now you're gonna get people out here who're gonna like criticize the defense and whatnot. They weren't great, but if you look at winning plays, and I think that's very essential when you play any sport and just look in this situation. Winning plays came from the defense and special teams. You saw what Jamison Crowder did in a play. They needed to get in field goal range. They needed a big play, period. And he almost took us to the house. So in that situation, that's prior to Chris Baker almost knocking out Eli Manning and getting him out of, you know, stopping the drive with the Giants like they were about to score and put the game away. And they punt that ball, and then Jameson Crowder almost took it to the house. That led to a Redskins field goal. They kept the, again, kept, I believe it cut the lead to 14-9 at that point in time. So, and that's a defensive play and, you know, and a special teams play. And you saw what Dustin Hopkins did throughout that game, going 5 for 5 and kicking field goals. The same issue still occurs. They were 0-for-4 from the red zone. But I think that Kirk Cousins played better than he did the first 2 weeks. I think the defense, granted, they still can't stop the run. That's an issue. That's going to be an issue. So, we, you know, fans and experts, they can keep talking about it, but it's going to be an issue. They didn't address it. So, I mean,
let me put a nickel in the meter right there, Wally, when we're talking about the run game. To me, that's one of the problems also. I feel the Redskins is going to trouble them. And if you watch the game, and I know I watched the game, I know you watched the game, Kirk Cousins, it's too much on his back, in my opinion. He's never been known as a lead. He's a good game manager. But to be a game manager, you got to be able to help him out. And the run game is not helping Kirk Cousins out. I mean, I know the run game came alive in the fourth quarter, you know what I mean? But overall, up until the fourth quarter, they wasn't running the ball pretty well.
They weren't trying to run the ball. I mean, it's a difference. When they did run the ball, they were okay. They just didn't try to run the ball. That's Jay Gruden's whole thing, though. He's been like that since Cincinnati. I think that everybody wants the Redskins to run the ball and be an effective running team, but you got to look at who your head coach is. And it's not a knock on him. It is what it is. He likes to throw the ball. I think we've seen the resume. We've seen his form. We've seen his plan, not just here, but with the Bengals. So I think people in general, when they look at the Redskins, they're like, oh, they need to run the ball more. But you got to look at the coach. This is not Joe Gibbs, okay? This isn't Joe Bugle. This isn't that team. This isn't the Hogs. He likes to throw the ball. That's why he had Jameson Crowder, Deshaun Jackson, Pierre Garçon, and Jordan Reed. These aren't guys that, oh, okay, let's just, you know, run the ball. These are guys he wanted to be more of an explosive offense. So in my opinion, I just think that because of personnel and who this coach is, they're going to always be a pass-happy team.
Wally, man, one of the things that I noticed about what was going on with the Redskins on Sunday was when they went down, a certain somebody who never really played, and I heard this story even more later, never played guard in his life, somehow was able to shift down, and with a makeshift line, they actually started running the ball more effectively. Do you think in the near future, even though with their offensive line woes as far as the injuries are concerned, that Trent Williams is going to go ahead and stick in that guard spot since they were running on his side and they were running more effectively because he shifted down? Granted, it was a horrible reason why he had to shift down. But when he did, their running that side became stronger. So, I mean, you think that's something that Bill Callahan's going to try to maybe try to see if he can convince Coach Gruden to keep for the running game purposes?
I hope not. You'll get Kirk Cousins killed. I mean, he protects his blind side. That's a left tackle. He gets paid all the money. There's no left tackle better than him on this team, and he's probably top five tackles in this game. And you want to move? I understand that, you know, because of certain people weren't up, they were inactive and injuries. He had to be moved to guard. But at the same time, I'm not moving one of the best tackles in the game to guard, especially leaving my quarterback vulnerable on passing downs. That's going to be a situation. So I don't see that happening. I mean, it did work for the running game. Trent Williams is one of the best offensive linemen in the game, period. So
and
it's
football,
him playing
period.
Guard. So I'm not surprised he can play guard. Guard compared to tackle is the more challenging position. Not to be mean, but it is what it is. That's the most challenging position.
So Sharif is
because
hurt?
You have,
is that who went down today as well?
No, not Sheriff. It wasn't Sheriff. It was LaValle. Sean LaValle went down. And then the center went down. Then Corey Lindsteiger went down. So they had to rotate everything. So Long, who usually plays guard, had to move to center. So they didn't have anybody to play guard. So Trent Williams had to play guard. And they put
the Redskins seem to be riddled with injuries. And that's the part I also think is, like, you know, every year you hear this team's the most injured team in football. This team's the most injured team in football. This team. And right now it clearly seems to be that the Washington Redskins are just being hitten by the injury bug. I mean, just in general right now, the NFC is just being riddled with injuries, and especially our Washington Redskins. So, but you have to understand the biggest thing about being a football player and a football fan as well, especially this is the show for the intelligent sports fan, is it's the next man up mentality.
Exactly.
So we don't want to hear excuses that this guy's hurt or that guy's hurt. No excuses. The Washington Redskins are better than what they've been playing. I mean, I picked them to win this division not because we cover them, not because we're cool with the organization, because I looked at what I saw, especially when Tony Romo went down. You know, the Eagles are a team right now, and we'll talk about them a little bit later in the program. No one expected them to be here. They were 100 to 20 odds to win the Super Bowl. Now they're 20-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. So no one expected them to be here, including Vegas. But the Washington Redskins were penciled in by a lot of analysts to win this division. And it's still early. So a lot of people talking about this team's won the division, this team this. It's week three. And this is talk radio. This is what we do. We talk from week to week, right? So this week, they even still with that win, it's 1-2. They're not done. The Washington Redskins can turn this around very quickly, Wally. But how do they do that?
Well, they have to do it by one, you know, making plays and not leaving points on the field. You can't – again, it worked against the Giants, and the Giants didn't play – I mean, it's a division game, so it's a little different. But you – I'll say this much. Going 0-4 in the red zone, when you're playing teams like that will be on the schedule, like the Carolina Panthers, the Minnesota Vikings, the Green Bay Packers, when you're playing teams like that, but those are the teams right, you know, those are, or even the Arizona Cardinals. Those are teams right now that have Super Bowl aspirations. And if you continue not to score points in the red zone and get field goals, you're going to lose. You're just going to lose. So their main thing, in my opinion, is to start scoring points in the red zone. And I hear people saying, like, oh, that's going to change. Well, it hasn't changed yet. Okay. So, like, all this.
Can I give you a silver lining through this playbook that I have for you? The NFL itself is struggling in the red zone more than I've ever seen it before. You know what I mean? And I'm watching this with teams throughout the league. So I'm thinking, you know, it's a copycat league. That's what the league is really about. Whatever defenses that they're now having in the red zone, I'm seeing a lot of zone that I've never seen before in the red zone.
Yeah,
like I'm saying,
zone.
When I watched Mike Tomlin's game one against you guys, I remember saying, was he playing John Madden football? And I'm saying that because as a Madden fan, a football fan, and Madden, you run a zone, it's going to work. And I felt like that's what he did to you guys. That's what a lot of teams are starting to do in the red zone. But, hey, we got our own Anthony Raposo, Washington Redskins beat writer, on the line right now. Go ahead, Mike, and bring him up.
Anthony,
you're there.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
Doing good.
You finally,
finally got
a victory last night.
Yeah, I know. It was a bittersweet. You know, there was definitely some injuries in there that kind of made it hard to be happy for too long. But overall, you know, it's always good to get that win out of the way, because when you get that out of the way, then, you know, you can get that zero and not kind of get dragged down for the rest of the season. So I think for all the fans out there, it's definitely a relief. Still some concerns, but it's definitely a relief for sure.
Well, Anthony, you didn't want to go 0-2 in the division. So I think a lot should be taken away from that more than I know a lot of Redskins fans are, you know, pretty much echoing the same sentiments you are having. You know, bittersweet. We lost, you know, Hall for the year. We're losing players. We're dropping like gnats in my living room right now. Don't ask me how they came in here. I'm just talking about the last 2 weeks. That just cannot go away. However, you did win the division game that's most important, and you beat the team that was in front of the division. And you couldn't afford to lose to go up in front of the division like that way, I mean, and the Dallas and the New York Football Giants. So coming out of that game yesterday, give me your quick assessment right fast. I'm up against the break.
Yeah, quick assessment would be I really like the way the team was able to battle through adversity, especially with all the injuries and moving guys, you know, in different positions. That would be my positive takeaway. My negative would be I'm pumping the brakes still on, you know, people getting Kirk Cousins, because I still don't see him right now as a franchise option at quarterback. Even after that game, I still see a guy who's throwing 30% in the red zone. Who has one touchdown and two interceptions. I just don't see him as a guy who's carrying the team on his back. So that would be more of my negative. Another positive would be it was good to see the team kind of focus more on the run. Matt Jones is actually having a better season than I think people are kind of realizing. He almost has 5 yards a carry average. which is pretty good for what it's worth. So I think that there's, you know, that's why I said it's bittersweet. There's some that you can, positive you can take away and you can be happy about, but there's still negatives like the red zone issues and, just the inconsistency. You know, it's frustrating when you're seeing, guys like Garcon running a seam down the, sidelines wide open and you don't, your quarterback doesn't see him. Right before halftime, he missed Chris Thompson in the flat, who was wide open. If he would have dumped it off to him, it would have been a touchdown. And,
right.
You could go on and on. I haven't been able to break down the All-22 tape just yet, but from the naked eye, I could definitely see there was some points that were left to be on the field. And luckily, Sue Cravens was able to lock it up in the end. But I still have some concerns for sure.
Well, let me ask you this, and Wally alluded to this, and you're saying Jones and his average per run. I say they're not running the ball well enough. Wally says it's not that exactly. It's the calls are not being called away. Is this something that we can look at right now? Kirk Cousins struggles, the team's running struggles on head coach Jay Gruden.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of that. I actually tend to agree with what Wally's saying is I think it's more of not that they're not doing good enough. I just don't think that they're giving enough of an opportunity. And if you really look at Scott McLuhan's teams and the way that he builds it, if you look at historically how he builds teams, it's a defense first that likes to run the ball and be smash mouth. And I think it kind of goes against what Gruden believes because Gruden's offense is the West Coast offense. They like to pass the ball. So I think that's, there's that disconnect there. And if anything, they should be more in the middle. I don't think that, like I said earlier, I just don't view Cousins as a guy that should be throwing 50 passes a game. You have to have more balance, and that's how he's going to be better is by allowing him opportunities, with the run game. That's going to open up play action pass. That's going to give him more opportunities. So from that standpoint, I think it's definitely a coaching thing. I would say that's more on the coaches.
Well, let me go ahead and touch on that as well. You said McLuhan and Gruden having the disagreement of the philosophies of what they build in football teams. Then in my assessment of knowing football and as long as I've been covering the NFL, that's a bad mixture. I mean, that's Howie Roseman and Chip Kelly all over again. You can't have the philosophy
right.
Big people beat up little people if you got a bunch of little people. What I'm saying?
Yeah, and you have to look at it like this, and this is something, you never want to be that guy that's looking towards the next season, but you have to keep in mind that McLuhan came here in January 2015. We have to give him time to establish people that he wants at, key positions,
correct,
which would be quarterback and coach. Right now he's
right.
working with what he has, and he was never, no one's given him a reason to let them go just yet. So, putting Cousins on the franchise tag was smart for him because he had no other option. He was smart enough not to give him a long-term deal, which is something that, I'm guilty of saying that I thought they should do, which in reality, in hindsight, when you step back, you realize it wasn't. GMs, I'm telling you right now, you can talk to any player in the league or in the office, GMs will always want their guy. They will always want their coach, and they will always
correct.
Want their quarterback. They're always going to want their guy.
You can tell
by the
book they open up. The paycheck
yep,
is open
and,
if they want that guy enough.
Yep, and so you're just – right now we're seeing – we're not seeing that because McLuhan hasn't had that opportunity to get that. I know that he likes Jay, but it would be interesting to see if he were to get somebody that would fit more of his, defensive philosophy. And again, that's speculation down the road, and we still have, a long season ahead of us. But I just think that if you go back and look at the history of McLuhan, the formula that the Redskins have right now doesn't fit the formula that he typically had with his winning seasons in different teams, such as the Seahawks.
Real fast, like I said, I know we're up against the time, and I thank you as always for giving us the opportunity to call in, Anthony. I really do like your work that you do with us here at Fox Sports Radio.
Appreciate it.
When you look at this team in the long run, when you look at the quarterback, especially in the long run, you said about, he's not a 50 passing kind of guy. It's definitely
right.
got to be a balance for Kirk Cousins. Now, can we completely put the struggles, even in a win, of the Washington Redskins solely on the quarterback and the coach? Does the defense get any – they're still not getting the pressure to the quarterback that they need? I'm seeing dumb penalties, which I know people can say that. The league itself right now, the penalties are up this year in the NFL.
Right.
There's just not
the
flag football rules they're trying to incorporate into the NFL. But it's the
yeah,
defense doing
yeah.
their part. I looked at this defense, and I thought they would be better than this at this point, and they haven't shown me to be correct just yet.
The defense is, it's tough, and it's really just how optimistic you were coming into the season, just because – there are areas that you would have expected to be better. But also I think injuries were a part of that. I don't know. It's tough right now. I still feel like it's kind of early to give that, but it's almost in a way, I kind of feel like that's kind of the strength of the team right now. Look who ended up closing the game out yesterday was the defense. You know, going into the season, everyone expected it to be a team that was putting up 30 plus points a game that was led by Cousins. And, you know, I go back and look at training camp videos that seem to be everyone's kind of their philosophy and what they were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look how that turned out, you know.
Hey, don't knock my running back Robert Kelly I told you about. I told you something about that name, R. Kelly. He can play some ball, I told you.
Yeah, I mean, Kelly got his opportunities. But, yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like this defense is right now led by Josh Norman is actually one of the more strong points. And like you said, you know, there are areas that they need to work on, like the pass rush and stopping the run. But I don't think that the defense would be the one necessarily that should be taking the heat, because they're putting the offense in position to put points, but they're only walking away with field goals. So,
I agree.
I wouldn't
Newman yesterday played amazing against Odell Beckham, who just had a historical meltdown yesterday, which for all the ages, if people don't start to see the error of that guy is too emotionally wound, if you know what I mean. But before you go, like I said, I'm up against the break. I'm going to ask you this, because we're ranking them today. From 1 through 4, rank the NFC East quarterbacks from best to worst.
So is this going to be – so are we ranking this like long-term or right now? Like absolutely right now.
Right now. We can't talk long-term, because long-term, it got to be Eli Manning no matter what any of us say. He got Super Bowl.
Right now, if we're talking play just right now, then Carson Wentz has to be number one. If we're just talking about what's going on right now in the league, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Eli Manning, Kirk Cousins.
Wow, you put Kirk there last. All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. We're up against the break. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if we're looking at the first 3 weeks of the season right now, that would be the order that I would have them. And Eli Manning, you can make an argument for him being four after the game he played yesterday. He could have thrown five interceptions easily. But, after the first 3 weeks, you know, obviously things can change, but that's how I would have it.
All right, there you have it. I love when I get a Washington Redskins and say somebody in Philadelphia is playing good. Have a wonderful day. Anthony, we'll talk to you next Monday, my friend. Hey, guys.
Okay, 347-637-3859.
Hey, do me a favor, Micah. Play that beautiful theme footage. We'll be right back, y'all. Southern Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Funny looking
shirt on. I don't know, man, but I'm gonna go check you out.
Where's Lionel at, man? I gotta talk to him about something.
Oh yeah, back to the video.
Yeah,
bottom man in
full effect.
Uh-huh. You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh yeah, take it down.
Girl, I must.
like the Vogue is paid late. So better lay low, scheming on hot money and the whole shit. The low pro ho should be cut like an afro. So what you saying, huh? She's winning you, but I know she's a loser. How do you know? Me and a crew used to do her.
Couldn't do this. Now all of a sudden, new coach, same players
oh, these receivers are elite. Really? They're elite? No, no, they're not elite.
No, they still
have
dropping
a quarterback
passes.
Putting the ball. They're still dropping passes.
They're still dropping passes.
So,
they're the same receivers.
I got to say, Ryan has a better team around him, I go with Carson Wentz and Winston Bania being the best quarterback right now in the NFC East.
And I will add this, too.
Is that the thing now? Is Winston Bania really a real thing? Is that a real thing?
Listen, because of the great, powerful statement that, because we all supported him, Colin Kaepernick took, he had boosted his sales of jersey sales to number one in the NFL. Carson Wentz now has the number one selling jersey in the NFL. If that doesn't tell you what his popularity is, I don't know what I can tell you.
And he's also he's a good coach. I mean, in terms of running the NFL system, I mean, Peterson's a really good coach. He's under Andy Reid is a good coach. He may not, you know, a lot of people may not like him. What happened? Some people in Philadelphia may not like him. But, you know, learning under Andy Reid is a good
Andy
thing.
They just thought
okay, I'm going to make sure because I always get people didn't like Andy Reid or whatever.
And I will say this much because you know what I said, Wally. I didn't believe in Peterson because I didn't think he was a good coach. And from what all reports I was getting from Kansas City, it was Andy Reid that was really the offensive coordinator. And those who know Andy Reid's team know that he is his own offensive coordinator.
Of course.
So
I
stand 100% corrected by saying that Doug Peterson – seems to know what he's doing. And it's something that they said also on air that I thought was fantastic. It's not hard for Carson Wentz to be so great in a sense because look at the coaching staff he has around him.
Exactly.
You know, yes, NFL quarterbacks, NFL coaches that have done it before, and he puts himself in a wonderful position to be great. The Eagles put him in a wonderful position to be great.
And even to add to that, you know, I said this, but for any rookie quarterback to be successful and to win games, you got a defense that's balling. That helps you out tremendously. And you saw what the Eagles did to the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. You see that front seven.
Yeah, what was that defense that Cleveland Browns was supposed to carve up? That defense didn't exist against, you know, that high explosive power offense that Pittsburgh Steelers was supposed to have. I thought that was supposed to be, that was supposed to be the moment, the time, where that defense was going to get tested against Antonio Brown, against Angelo Williams, against the offensive line. I thought they were going to get tested. And I was sitting here like, ooh, ooh, ooh. I watched that pretty much until they switched the game. Until they switched to another game, I was watching that thing, and that thing was I was impressed. The defense that we talked about in week one that you talked about as a resident Eagles fan that you talked about in week one, Mike, it was a totally different Eagles defense. I did not see any of that porousness. I didn't see anything like that. And, you know, it's hard to shut down Antonio Brown, but he was, you know, pretty much a non-factor that game as far as what he normally does, in my opinion. That's what I saw anyway.
Well, it's like this. Like, Big Ben didn't have time to get the ball to Antonio Brown. Wasn't that he got shut? He didn't have time to give him the ball. Like, that's one thing
that's
about
true.
Their front seven is crazy. Like, they get after the ball. So that's something that, again, that protects your young quarterback. There's not that much pressure to be perfect in every single drive. And he's playing well. He's playing great, actually. But it's helpful to know that, you know what, I don't have to be in a shootout right now. Like, my defense is getting after it. They can give me some turnovers. They can give me a short field. You know, they make it easy for me so that I can learn as this season goes on and become even better, and my confidence can grow even more. So, to me, his situation is great right now, and he gets to learn from a guy who's been under a great coach, Andy Reid. So I just think that this kid, his projection is upwards. It's not going downwards. It's upwards. So I think he'll get better even, you know, as the season goes on.
No, I'm in total agreement with you. Now, there is somebody who may disagree with us as far as maybe Carson Wentz being the best in the NFC East. Not because he's a Dallas fan. I know
of course,
him.
Of course. That's because they're blinded, Micah. Because they're blinded by that star.
No.
Where you at?
Hey, no, we're not blinded, man. Hey, I'm gonna get it straight. I'm a Texans fan by heart, but man, I gotta roll with Dallas because at least they're winning today, right? But no, bro, I think Dak is definitely a replacement for Romo, bro, because we know Romo will not last seven games. We know this for a fact. You know.
Well, here's my thing about when people say Dak Prescott. You hear my argument for why I won't put a number one. And, again, he's good, and I hate the fact to admit that he's good. And know exactly King Vaughn Jr., okay? Know exactly.
Right.
Does he not have a better offensive team around him than Carson Wentz does? So for me, Carson is doing more because he has less than Ryan. Let's be real. I haven't played high school football in about 20 years, but with that offensive line, I'm quite sure we can all be successful.
Well, that's one thing about Jerry. He's going to put the men there to protect it. But look at what Romo does, man. He does not have – and I'm a Dallas fan, man. I'm not the Romo bandwagon dude, man. I'm not that guy. I've been waiting for Jerry in the front office, him and Garrett getting together, and put a mobile quarterback, somebody with an arm, with some accuracy, and that's not scared to make the big decision. And I look at Dak, and I'm seeing him more and more as a more mature guy as far as being his first year in the league. You know what I mean?
Now, one thing I did hear I thought was great, they were saying how they gave him the playbook and how he had it memorized. This is when Romo was in camp, and he was just ready to be. And what makes me mad for me is that I like Ryan. You know what I mean? He just happened to be a Cowboy. And the worst part is, with all my listeners out there, yes, I'm an African-American, so I cheer for every African-American quarterback. I don't care who they are. I find it very hard to boo this guy because he's a Cowboy. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, come on. I want to boo him so bad, but he's really, really good. But, of course, I'm an Eagle fan, so, of course, I'm going to put my guy one, and I'm going to make excuses for it because I think when you got if you give Carson Wentz someone like a Dez Bryant, I don't think it's hard to be great.
That's true. That's true with an elite receiver like Dez, but once again, you got to get him the ball.
Yeah,
I give you that much.
But you know what, Mike? We got another friend of the family on, Jetty. What's going on
there, sir?
Chilling, man. To your question about African American quarterbacks, it's because you guys can't think as well as us Puerto Ricans and white guys. So, you know, you can't.
That's what they have to believe.
I just said with Wiki here for that.
But last time I checked, your commander in chief is black, and he went to Harvard. So
yeah, that's right.
I'm Puerto Rican, man. That was just a joke, right?
Listen, you guys think Pun's the greatest rapper of all time. I can't argue that, you know.
Exactly. And he's half black, so there you go. But on a serious note, though, man, I gotta go for my boy the Giants, though. Even though they fucked up that game last night. Still, 2-1 is not a bad record to start off with. What do you guys give the Giants chances?
Eli.
Yeah, I know, right?
when it comes right down to it, the Giants will be the team that I think they are. They are going to be a team that may self-destruct during the regular season. They may actually do good during the regular season. But either way,
well, what's going on with Beckham?
I think they're going to be an average team during this regular season, as always. I'm not afraid of the New York Giants until the playoffs. I'm not afraid of them until the playoffs. If I'm a person that plays the Giants in the playoffs, I am now more afraid because for some odd reason, Eli's turnover switch, his fumble switch, his interception switch, it goes off, and all of a sudden I become an elite quarterback, just all of a sudden happens. And all of a sudden, hey, here he is making a run against the NFC Championship game. Here he is in the Super Bowl. How did he do that? He's stuck during the whole thing. I don't get it. I don't understand. But, hey, that's just what Eli does. And, you know, he has two Super Bowls to show for it. He has a couple of NFC Championship appearances, I think three that he also had because he lost one NFC Championship game, I believe. So the brother is good at what he does when he gets in the playoffs. I have no idea what's going on with him during the regular season.
I said I'm Puerto Rican, so I have to bring my boy Victor Cruz into this mix too. Does he have anything to do with it?
I'm loving Cruz. Now, Beckham, though, you got to ask about Beckham. That's my big deal. I saw him on the sideline not looking playoff caliber, if you ask me, man. He's just getting too frustrated out there. I don't know what that is, but I know they've been messing with him since they had the little debacle, him and the DB. They've been doing that taunting thing, and that that's a whole different deal in and of itself. The thing is that people get to his head while he's in the game, man. You got to stay focused, man. Beckham's definitely young, got plenty of time to develop that, but you can't let these people get you frazzled in the game because Eli needs you, man.
Well, no, I think at the end of the day, we know why Odell Beckham's so frustrated. Because he's not being honest with himself about certain things. Think about it. Anybody seen that YouTube video? He's singing about sex with him, and he said when he get that feeling, a random dude's head pop up the hot tub. I'm just saying, you got a random dude popping his head up in the hot tub with a sensual face. Like, you say, I'm a sensual man. Coming up when a dude's singing about sexual healing, look, man, Odell, we love you. We're proud of your talent, but you need to be honest with yourself, okay? Don't worry. No one's going to treat you like a guy named Michael Sanders because you actually got real talent and you can actually play in the NFL. So you'll be able to say, people ain't going to care. You ain't going to be a distraction. Just say it. Just say what you mean.
ODB is a man. ODB is a man. You know, and Eli caught that off of one lucky – his first Super Bowl was one lucky catch. Like,
both Super Bowls, let's not sugarcoat it. Both Super Bowls were set up by some random miracle catch by one of his receivers after he closed his eyes and threw it to heaven. So it was David Tyree, and there was another one with Mario Manningham to the sideline in the same team. It was Mario Manningham in the sideline where it looked like he couldn't have and shouldn't have caught that ball, but somehow he had both feet in right there like a centimeter away from the sideline, and he caught it at the same time. It was ridiculous. So both miracle-type catches set up the go-ahead touchdown score, and the defense just went on ahead and did what they do and told Tom Brady how much he's actually a choke artist in crunch time. Just kidding.
Definitely a miraculous decision.
Yeah, when he's not deflating balls, then yeah, we'll see.
I am a Colts fan. I am a Colts fan. I'm the resident Colts fan here. I do not care about deflated balls. No one could tell me different than
it does matter, but it does matter. It doesn't matter.
It don't matter. Because physically speaking, we're talking real science here. A deflated football does not travel better in any weather condition than
it's easier to catch the ball, though. It's easier to catch a bullet.
Exactly.
If it's easier to throw, the argument was not that it's easier to catch, but that's easier to hold on to, so that helps the running backs. But then it's easier to also grip. But even if you grip, the travel ability of a deflated football is not the same. So basically, Tom Brady went from throwing spirals to throwing Peyton Manning duck passes, and we already know how that ended up a lot of times. So
But I don't think the deflated balls equal an automatic win. The deflated balls do not equal an automatic win. Your defense still has to play. So, you know what I mean? But that is kind of tricky ball, though. You know what I mean? It's kind of
– It's an advantage to the situation. It's like if you watch boxing, like Madonna versus Mayweather, the first fight.
Do I send some Mayweather?
Hold on, I throw you off on boxing.
If the face that runs the place tells him to whip Mickey, you, it's your fault.
Get your point out.
All right, yeah, okay. So what I'm trying to say is like Madonna Mayweather won. There was a big controversy off of I don't know if you guys watch boxing or not.
The gloves.
And right. Now, let's say Madonna would have been able to use those gloves. Yeah, it doesn't play the whole factor in it, but Mayweather wanted everything to his advantage. So when you're doing deflated balls, yeah, you got the defense and everything, and that doesn't play the whole factor, but it does play a factor because those deflated gloves – I mean, those 8-ounce gloves could have made the difference between a 4-8 fight to a 7-5 fight. You see what I'm saying?
I get you. I get you. And that makes sense. And that makes a lot of sense. And you're right. Those gloves were about
different. It's valid. But this is the Solon Sports. It's 347-637-3859. Press 1 if you want to dial in and, you know, talk to us. Because as you can see, we're not afraid of conversation, because, you know, this is the barbershop.
No, I love my man with the Puerto Rican comment. I'm not going to lie. I've been doing this for 8 years through Blog Talk Radio over to Fox Sports, and that was one of the best calls ever. Because, you know what, for the first time ever, maybe I'm maturing, I didn't take it as racism. If you can't take the heat, get out the kitchen, you know?
So, I didn't mean that there's racism.
Oh, no, I didn't take it that way.
We were just joking.
All right, if we said it's racism, we could have told. We'd have been like, you'd have been banged on, because we're not afraid to bang on you.
Yeah.
No book.
We would already
say that. Real quick question for all you guys. We're up because we got a short show today. We're supposed to be on for 2 hours today, but we have some complications, so we're going to do an hour today. So real fast before you guys go, though, you can pick which order they go in, Micah. What were your best games of the weekend you saw so far? Is the NFC East back, in your opinion?
Bevin, you take that one.
Who, me?
Bevin.
Yeah, do you think the NFC East is back?
Me too.
I don't know. I don't follow it like that. The best game is Giants versus Redskins for me. No, because, you know, all because of – oh, no, actually the Jets versus Kansas City. You throw two interceptions at the first and goal. Like, come on. Get the
– That's, I think that's the most surprising game.
Get a
the
fucking new life, bro. Yo, get rid of that quarterback, somebody, please. What the
Hold
fuck
on,
is
man,
that?
Well, hey, can't
get
cuss.
Rid of that
can't
quarterback.
Can't cuss. Got
the most surprising game to me was the Thursday night game, of course, Texans versus New England. And me, as a Texans fan, I do not like O'Brien. I think he's a great coach. I think that he's a good players coach. I think that he makes good decisions in the front office sometimes. But the way that he runs the offense, trying to emulate Belichick, you can't do it. You don't have the personnel. You know, you don't have the play calling. And Romeo Crennel, I love my black coaches, but, man, I really liked it. Wade Phillips' defense way better than Romeo's. I'm not going to lie, bro. To get the last point line to zero.
What's your name again, big guy? I'm sorry. I didn't catch it. I was – and doing other things. I'm sorry. The guy talking
Bevin.
Now. What's your name?
Bevin.
I agree because I had a conversation with my programmer for the day, and I said the same thing as an Eagle fan. He was like, man, you know, that was more surprising. I said, I'll be honest with you. To me, it was more surprising the Texans losing like that to New England, because you had everything at your disposal to win that game. And they came up and laid a big egg. To me, that was the biggest surprise, because it makes me question how great really is Tom Brady, that Belichick can continue to win, but no matter who he has behind center. I also agree with that.
I love that third-string quarterback. That dude, what was his name, Brissett?
Oh,
I love that dude, man.
Yeah, he's a monster, and he's hurt too. So Belichick's very good at
not again. Not Julian Edelman.
Yeah, man.
Please.
Have quarterbacks get good contracts the next year. But he's a rookie, so he's actually there for a while, right? So he's actually a rookie. But hey, guys, we're gonna go right now. We gotta go into our best and worst of the weekend and our picks for the night. So Wally, I'm gonna start off with you. Tonight's game, Atlanta against New Orleans. This game is in. New Orleans, I believe. Am I right there, Mike? I don't have the paper in front of me.
It's in New Orleans, and New Orleans got 2.5.
Who you got in this game? We play points here. My daughter can pick winners and losers. I need you to tell me the point spread, who wins this game. Starting with you, Wally.
What's the spread?
3 points.
2.5. Yeah, 3 points, basically.
And who's favorite? Who's favorite?
Saints are favorite. They're
I got Atlanta cover. Atlanta went outright, right?
Atlanta wins outright. I have this as a do-not-touch game, because Atlanta disappoints me and the Saints disappoint me, because that offense should be – I think Drew Brees can take any receiver and make them great, a la Peyton Manning can do the same thing. But at times, the defense lets them down like they did against Oakland. So this is a do-not-touch game for me. If I would touch it, I got to go with who that say they could beat them Saints. A lot of stuff still going on in New Orleans. It's the almost close to the anniversary to everything that was going on and with Hurricane Katrina. So I think they do it for the city. Give me New Orleans in the points, Michael. Who you got?
also got New Orleans and the points because, like you said, about you got the combination of the Katrina anniversary coming up and the fact that these guys are still coming off another flood, a major one. So, yeah, they're definitely going to play for the city tonight, definitely.
All right, well, look, guys. And, all right, real fast, Wally, best and worst of the weekend, Wally.
Best of the weekend had to be Redskins getting a big W against the Giants. It was a must-win. Worst of the weekend had to be the death of Jose Hernandez. I'm sorry.
Yeah, when I heard about that, that was real, real bad, man. That was real bad. That was different for me. I didn't understand what was going on. I was like, why is social media up in the buzz? And when I found that out, I thought that was a real, real shame. For me, the best of the weekend, my Colts actually getting a win for a change. Yay! We got the win column. Fantastic. Boy, man, I was scared out of my daggone mind because I saw what San Diego was doing, and I was like, what? So I was actually kind of scared. So my worst of the weekend has to be the Pittsburgh Steelers and laying an egg, man, against the Philadelphia Eagles. This is in no disrespect to Mike Pyramid and his Eagles, but what tripped me out was how the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't even look competitive. That's what actually got me. They didn't even look competitive. So with that being said, let's see. We still have our call on. So, Big Sir, what's your best and worst of the weekend, man? We're going to close out. What's your best and worst of the weekend?
Worst of the weekend, got to give to my Texans, man. Osweiler, I can't blame him, man. I'll blame O'Brien for sure. And the best, hey, man, how about them Redskins?
All right, hey Wally, you're getting some love there from a guy who's a guy that's a resident Texan. That's kind of interesting. Getting some love there, man. That's pretty good. So,
hey man, Indy won, bro, and I really respect that. But I was really hoping for a loss because that would make us look better. But we're still first in AFC South, baby.
yeah, I know. And then look, man, me and you both gotta watch out for those Actionville Jaguars. Those guys are dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And they're 0-3, but they have been competitive and stuff. And all their games suck for one. That's when San Diego went off and lost everybody. But, you know, that's all good. Thank you very much for the call, Big Sip. Wally, it's a pleasure as always to hang out with you and discuss the things that matter most to us. Wednesday, starting at 5 o'clock, check us out, Solar Sports, Perfect Plex Radio. We will break down everything that happened over the weekend when it came to the Clash of Champions WWE, WWE Monday Night Raw, and, of course, on Tuesdays, SmackDown Live. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to us and being part of our show today. This is the Solar Sports with the crew, Fox Sports Radio, 1340 a.m., peace.
This is the Solar Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.
If you're not down with that, we are 2-1!